And now we will continue our study of how to refine the astral body and the techniques that the Aegis Wisdom has suggested to achieve astral control.
And Nicole, let me remind everyone that the previous segments are on YouTube, on our channel, if you'd like to review the introductory pieces that you've already given to us.
Okay. So today we will concentrate on divine indifference, detachment, and harmlessness. These are the techniques that DK has given us. But before that, I would remind you of one of our previous slides 2 months ago, where we talked about water being essential to human and planetary life, and that 70% of the human body is made up of water, and coincidentally, more than 70% of the Earth is also covered in water. And water, as we know, is a very good conductor of electricity. So it is a medium for the transmission of messages. Water is essential for cellular communication and for the brain transmission of its messages via the nervous system to the rest of the body and vice versa. So very importantly, it affects one's moods. Lack of water, science has discovered, causes anxiety, nervousness, depression, etc., as the delicate balance between the happy hormones, the dopamine and serotonin, is thrown off. So what I'm saying here is that water is essential to the human brain for the production of the hormones dopamine and serotonin. Now, there is a Japanese scientist that you may know of, Dr. Masaru Emoto, who has made experiments on water and found out that water exposed to a variety of words, feelings, or music change its molecular structure. So, for example, there's the top there. This is the water of a dam before and after a Buddhist monk offered prayer. Look at this, before and after. There's another one. Before a prayer, and that's one after prayer. Here it is, more. This is this one. When water was exposed to heavy metal music, and this one exposed to words, I love you. These ones, you make me sick. Look at the structure of the water. And look at this one compared to the words, thank you. So what I'm really saying here is that the astral body receives the impress of every desire. And Dr. Emoto demonstrated that principle scientifically through these images. Joe, maybe you need to close your microphone. So by holding the intention of peace towards water, by thinking, speaking, and acting with the intention of peace towards water, says Dr. Emoto, water can and will bring peace to our bodies and to the world. And this is from the word of a scientist, mind you. So now let's see from the Aegis Wisdom. What is the distinction between divine indifference and detachment? For us to really understand that, we need to have a quick look at the esoteric healing law, Law 9, which states that perfection calls imperfection to the surface. Good drives evil from the form of man. And the method that the perfect one and good, meaning from the planetary logos and from Christ, is perfect harmlessness. Now, this is not negativity, states that law, but it's perfect poise, a completed point of view, and divine understanding. Let's see what these mean for us as disciples. Perfect poise, says the Age's Wisdom, indicates complete control of the astral body so that the emotional upheavals are overcome, or at least minimized in the life of the disciple. And that perfect poise, which DK tells us is a possible achievement for all of us who read his words, is arrived at by ruling out the pulls, the urges, impulses, and attractions of the astral body, and by the practice of divine indifference. And I will recall the definition of divine indifference. It is permitting the emotion or the glamour to die of attrition because it's deprived of that feeding power of the attention. And DK tells us that the whole history of true emotional control is found in that sentence. Allowing or permitting the emotion or the glamour to die of attrition because we don't give it any, we don't feed it with the focus of our attention. In other words, we ignore it. And one of the analogy that I really like is that of ice diving. That is plunging into icy water and not allowing ourselves to be affected by our environment. Just like this person here wore a particular suit to dive in the icy water, so us too. And this is a method that I've used that I can share with you. For years, when I knew that I was going into an environment where I knew that a person was emotionally unstable and that I would be upset from this person, I used to think of myself being in a bag of light. So I'd zip myself up in a bag of light and then I would go into that situation, so that I wouldn't allow myself to be affected by this person's unstable astral body. Now, the completed point of view, what does that mean? It refers to the universal outlook of the monad, and therefore to an initiate of higher degrees. Now, of course, we're not up to that stage yet. We're still disciples. So DK gives us the method. The method is thinking of ourselves as the soul, as the observer in the three worlds. And therefore, the completed all-round picture, just as an observer will gradually attain. And this is brought about by the development of detachment and discrimination. And I think last time we used that slide where the disciple learns to know himself to be the soul, to be above everything else, the director of the forces meaning of its chakras, whether it's mental, emotional, or etheric. And these he direct from the altitude of the divine observer, from the soul, from the higher mental plane, and visualizing ourselves in the three worlds, but as the observer, being completely detached, but seeing life from this point of view. And of course, that's not easy to do. But DK does say that it is, with practice, it is possible, it is attainable. And the last one was divine understanding. What does that mean for the initiate? Is that it identifies its consciousness with the causes of the ephemeral world. In other words, understanding the purpose of Shambhala. And of course, this is very difficult for our point of view, but it tells us from a disciple's point of view, it indicates a mind which can be held steady in the light and can therefore reflect the pure reason, pure love, which qualifies the reflection of the soul on its own plane. Again, it's seeing life from the soul's point of view. But that's very difficult to attain, I know. So let's have a look now at harmlessness. How shall a man preserve that balance which will enable him to see truth, judge rightly, and so preserve his mental contact with his soul and the souls of his fellow men? DK tells us it's by the constant practice of harmlessness. It involves harmlessness in speech, in thought, and consequently in action. But mind you, it's not a negative and fluid intolerance, tolerance rather, of just accepting whatever comes our way, no. But it involves a constant activity and watchfulness of being positively harmless. So let's explore that concept. Harmfulness is based on selfishness, on an egocentric attitude. It's a demonstration of forces concentrating for self-enforcement, self-aggrandizement, and self-gratification. So when we do our review every day and we look at our lives and how we've been acting, so if we identify actions and thoughts and feelings based on that, then we know that we have been harmful. And the opposite, harmlessness is the expression of the man who realizes himself to be everywhere, who lives consciously as a soul, whose nature is love, whose method is inclusiveness, and to whom all forms are alike in that they veil and hide the light, but are the externalization of that one infinite being. In other words, what DK is really saying here is seeing the soul, that struggling life in every person, in every form that we see around us. So seeing life from the soul's point of view and identifying with the soul quality of everybody and everything around us. It is also bringing caution in judgment, reticence in speech, ability to refrain from impulsive action, and the demonstration of a non-critical spirit. In other books, DK tells us that criticism is the greatest, the biggest poison of all. So we have to be very, very, very careful with our thoughts, that we don't criticize and judge, and that being harmless. So free passage can be given to the forces of true love and spiritual energies, which would vitalize the personality and therefore consequently lead us to right action. What harmlessness is not, it's not the harmlessness that comes from weakness of or a sentimental loving disposition, but it is true understanding and control of the personality by the soul that leads to a spiritual expression in everyday life. Harmlessness is not that which dislikes trouble because it upsets the settled harmony of life, leading to consequent discomfort. No. It emanates from a capacity to enter into the consciousness and to penetrate into the realization of one's brother. It is not the harmlessness of the little evolved, negative, impotent man or woman who doesn't have the power to hurt because he or she doesn't possess equipment whereby damage can be done. But it is the ability to let go and to forgive, and followed by the desire to help, no matter what the other person has said or hurt us. It is not the spirit of criticism, because that induces more states of glamour than any other factor. It is not the spreading of destructive discussion. But glamour will only end when harmlessness and kindness in thought and in words are being practiced and automatically become a part of a disciple's daily life expression. It is not non-resistance, but it's speaking no word that can damage another person. It's a thinking no thought that can poison or produce misunderstanding. And it does no action that can hurt. And DK tells us that it is a step to initiation. The achieving of harmlessness in the positive sense means achieving that step, which definitely leads us to the portal of initiation. And it doesn't matter whether it's the first, second, or third. So how do we develop harmlessness? We study our daily contact, words, and thoughts so as to make them utterly harmless. We set ourselves to think these thoughts about ourselves and others that are constructive and positive, and hence harmless in their effects. We study our emotional effect on others so that by no mood, no depression, no emotional reaction can cause harm to another fellow man. We look out not to our wrong tendencies, because the more we focus on what we do wrong, what we are not, because then we feed it, but we focus on our virtues. This is a very, very important point, friends. Don't feed the negative attitude, because the more we focus on it, the more we feed it, and the more we energize it. It's by attrition that we need to get rid of them eventually. So it's the focusing on what we do best, on what we are, our virtues, our qualities, and the qualities of the soul. Love, forgiveness, forgetfulness, etc., etc. And lastly, remember in this connection, DK tells us, violent spiritual aspiration and enthusiasm, misplaced or misdirected, can also easily harm a fellow man. So if harmlessness is the keynote of your life, DK tells us, you will do more to produce right, harmonious conditions in your personality than any amount of discipline along other lines. I'm going to reread this because it is such an important sentence. If harmlessness is the keynote of your life, you will do more to produce right, harmonious conditions in your personality than any amount of discipline along other lines. The drastic purgation brought about by the attempt to be harmless will go far to eliminate wrong states of consciousness. So therefore, let's see to it and let's bring this idea in our review. Recommendation by DK, let harmlessness therefore be the keynote of our life. And when we do our review, divide it into three parts, he tells us. Have I been harmless in thought? Therefore, that will result in the control of speech. We will review what words that we have used, therefore, that may have harmed somebody else. Have I been harmless in my emotional reaction? And that will result in being a channel for the love aspect of the soul. Have I been harmful in my actions? And this will bring poise, skill in action, and the release of creative will. Hang on. That's it. Harmlessness is not negative or sweet or kind activity, as many people believe. But it is a state of mind, and one which in no way negates firm or even drastic action. And we can look towards the Christ, to his three temptations. These were the perfect example. Just watch how the artist rendered that action. Look at the hands there. Stop, Christ says, to whatever temptation or harmful thought has come into his mind. It concerns motives. It involves the determination that the motive behind all activity is goodwill. So look to your motive. And that motive might lead to positive and sometimes disagreeable action or speech, DK tells us. But harmlessness and goodwill condition the mental approach. Therefore, nothing can eventuate but good. So look to your motive, DK advises us. So perfect harmlessness, as used by the perfect one, the Christ, and by the Christ, it is not a harmlessness that he's been talking about earlier on, but it is an ignoring of the effect or the result upon the form nature. Again, motive, and not allowing the environment to have an effect. This higher form of harmlessness was used by both Sanat Kumara and the Christ. And if we review the ninth law of esoteric healing, of perfect poise, the completed point of view, and the divine understanding that we studied earlier on, we will understand. And harmlessness is also used by Sanat Kumara. He, the planetary logos, created the earth so that he can learn the meaning of systemic dispassion. To be dissociated from all forms and material substance, and upon the cross of matter eventually find liberation and the freedom of the spirit. So harmlessness is the key to the release of the lower nature from the grip of the world illusion and from the power of phenomenal existence. Let's reread that sentence again. Harmlessness is the key to the release of the lower nature from the grip of world illusion and from the power of phenomenal existence. So it's letting go of one's glamours, emotional ties, and attachment to the world of form. It's letting go of them, being dissociated from all forms and from the world of form. This is the method that both the Christ and our Logos use. And therefore, DK tells us, I say to you at this time, I, an older and perhaps more experienced disciple and worker in the great vineyard of the Lord, practice harmlessness with zest and understanding. For it is the destroyer of all limitations, if it's carried out truly. And DK tells us that the most potent force in the world today is harmlessness. Now, apart from harmlessness, DK gave us two other techniques. So, to have in mind that spiritual esotericism is required. Therefore, we need to create a line of light between ourselves and all spiritual and all circumstances and problems. And this is what I was saying to you. This is the method that I used ages and ages ago, putting myself in a bubble of light. Now, this is possible because every problem is in reality an etheric thought form and it's effective for good or evil. The line of established light can dispel the evil or act as a transmitter of the energy of the will to good. Now, in the above sentences, DK tells us, I've given you a potent hint and one that should be taught to all true aspirants. So we can not only practice it ourselves, but we can also share that technique with other people. So create a line of light between yourself and the problems, or zip yourself in a bubble of light. And the other one, which he gave to one of his disciples, called CDP. You know, the one that we do that established the garden, that same disciple, and told her to picture herself right in the middle of her soul and to say the following mantra: at the center of all love I stand. Naught can touch me here. From that center, I shall go forth to love and serve. Now, I have added the rest with self-forgetfulness, harmlessness, and non-criticism. But you can put whatever quality that you want. It's up to you. This is only an adaptation of the mantra that DK gave to his disciple. So friends, a lot to think about, to ponder, to reflect on, but above all, to practice. And that's the hardest bit. And now I will give the microphone to Joe, and Joe will give you the details of the sharing of these principles. Go for it, Joe.